Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance that you already have the things you hope for. It's the conviction that you already have the things that are not seen." It takes a lot of faith to believe that a small group of Christians in a church as small as ours could ever find a way to raise $1, $2, or $3 million to build a worship facility. Well, we have a prime patch of land, and we have a desire in our hearts, and we have a world-class architect drawing up plans for us. And what the Lord says in Psalm 37, verse 4 is, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "Nothing will be impossible with God." Well, to be candid with you, I always saw myself as the one who would provide all of this for us. And I know now that I am deluding myself to think that the Lord would ever allow that to happen. In fact, the opposite is happening. He's making sure that we know that he will provide everything, the plan, the means, the people to enjoy it, in honor of this small core of Barah Ministries believers who have dedicated their time, talent, and treasure to worshiping God. He will provide for us, no one else. He will make it happen for us, no one else. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, Abraham set the tone for us. He said, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform." What God has promised, he is able to perform. So we eagerly await the tangible things that God has set aside for us in eternity past. And we look forward with anticipation as he will make them appear before our very eyes. The opening prayer. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for reassuring us of your faithfulness. Thank you for your graciousness. Thank you for letting us know that you don't need numbers to accomplish great things. Give us patience to wait for your deliverance, which will come at the perfect time. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's event, the floor plan of the new church. We're going to welcome up in just a bit Nick Santakis of Santakis Architecture. His website is www.santakisarchitecture.com. If you'd like to see what architects really do and like to see what true creativity is in architecture, you should check out Nick's website. First, before we welcome Nick up, though, we'll take the offering. And we appreciate your gifts. Because the Lord provides you with a way to be generous, you get a chance to give of your treasure so that others can benefit. There's no greater expression of the unconditional love of God than giving. Here's what Paul has to say to believers in Christ at Corinth concerning giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. "Now this I, Paul, say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." In other words, be generous, because the more seeds that are sown, the bigger the harvest. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, "Each one of us must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a joyfully willing giver." God loves an attitude in you that wants to give, not an attitude in you that thinks you have to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." If you are benefiting from this teaching, show your appreciation through your gift. Let's welcome Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning. Good morning. Might take it down just a touch for me. Welcome to your favorite part of Barah Ministries. What's so funny? Did I miss something? We are sanctioned by God to charge for anything we provide that allows you to worship God. We choose not to exercise that right. No price appears on any material from Brahm Ministries, so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We need and appreciate your financial support so we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers God provides. Please be generous of your support of God's work through this ministry. Lately, we've been hearing about our dependence on the Holy Spirit, and it reminded me of our dependence on Jesus Christ. Because we are dependent on Jesus to be saved, and now we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to renew our soul. So dependence has been kind of a thing in my mind this week. Emily, my wife, and my son William went on a vacation this week to San Diego. And what was really highlighted during that vacation was dependence on others. Because we were in a foreign place to us, and we needed guidance from some people there. And my first inclination is not to ask for help. It's to just do it on my own. Drive wherever we can. Oh, well, we'll find parking. And then we end up fighting because we didn't find parking. And we're late, and I forgot something, and my swim trunks are in the bag. But it showed that, you know, the concierge is there for a reason, and we depend on them. I asked them where to go, and they gave us great recommendations on the beaches and the place that's close and how to get there and how to avoid traffic and stay off the 5. And it was highlighted to me that, you know, we need people's help. We need people at the restaurant to get our order right. You know, we're dependent on them. Those seem trivial. And, you know, we're dependent on the flight crew of our airline to get us there properly and to get us there safely. And in a more meaningful way, we're dependent on doctors and nurses for our health and our safety. We're dependent on their skills to get us through hard times. You know, Larry's going through some medical issues now, and he's going to get through them because he can depend on other people, because there's an unconditional God backing all the support that he has. And Tracy's dependent on her family right now to come together and unite and console one another. And they're dependent on the doctors to help her father. And in this church, we're dependent on you to give of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Each of us has a talent that we can offer to this church and offer to God as a ministry. So that's why we come this every week and offer and have an offering. It's an opportunity for you. It's not a burden. It's something that you can do and prove your worship of God by sowing what you have and giving them your first fruits and not giving what's left after you've spent it elsewhere. So we always appreciate your giving. And I looked a little bit farther ahead in Romans to find my verse to support this, which is Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, who are many believers in Christ, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. You see, individually members one of another is we're dependent on one another to create the unity. Because of our dependence in Christ, we have a unity to strengthen the church and to strengthen the message about Christ around the world. So we really appreciate it when you give to this ministry. So thank you very much.
You turn it on. This isn't my microphone. I have a lavalier that I usually use. So this is new to me. So no, I didn't turn it on. So I have to admit that the offering is always an exciting time for me because I have a secret hope that one day I'll look in the offering and see a $1, $2, or $3 million check. And in fact, I did see a large check at one time. It was from Maureen Slobig, and it was a check for $1 million. And in the memo section, it said, if I could. And I think I still have that check somewhere. I'm gonna run it through because I think Maureen has $1 million, and I'm going to sneak it out of her account. To which I said, if only. So our day is coming right soon. In just a moment, I'm going to be welcoming up Nick Santakis, our architect on the church project. And so far, Nick has listened to what we would like to accomplish, and this is the first pass on a floor plan for the new church. Now, after this first pass, we'll be getting feedback from our non-resident congregation about the church, and sometime next year, we hope to look for funding for this project. Now, I don't remember how we met. Do you remember how we met? Yeah, and I don't know who recommended me to you. Do you remember that part? Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's right. I got your magazine in the mail and I looked at some of your designs. I said, This is pretty cool, and you had that Greek last name and I like Greece. So I said, yeah, Santakis, I can pronounce his name, I'm calling him. And so he did a remodel for my home, and he's turned my home into a palace. And I just love where I live now because of him. And so in working with him, as soon as I saw that things were going really well, I mentioned to him that we're going to be building a church. So this must have been 5 years ago. And the thing there are a lot of things that are impressive to me about Nick. Now, one of them is that he's a man's man. You know, he's somebody that you can trust. He's somebody you can depend on. If he says it, he's going to do it. And he's somebody you can turn your back on, and you don't have to worry that he's cheating you. And he's always looking out for you. He is fantastic, in my mind, with developing designs that are not expensive to execute but are really elegant looking. And so I just love that about him. So from a man-to-man standpoint, he gets my highest praise for being somebody that you can depend on. But, you know, the other thing that I really like about him is that I told him about the church about 5 years ago, and when I resurfaced that we were starting to get some interest in getting the plans drawn up, he said, yeah, that's great. I've been thinking about what your church was going to be like for 3 years, right? And that I love that. Now, he may have been just joking. I don't think he was, but he may have been just joking. But boy, I tell you what, that's exactly the person that you want on a project of yours, somebody who's thinking about it all the time, and I genuinely believe that that is true for him. So please join me in welcoming up Nick Santakis, who's going to take us through the initial floor plan for Barah Ministries. Come on up, Nick.
I'm on?
Yeah, you're on.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody. I guess you'll have to depend on me to be your architect. Rory, when we met in 2006, shortly after that, you started talking about the church. So it's been more than 5 years. And seriously, when I did tell you that I've been thinking about it for all these years, I have. So yeah, I just don't say things like that if I don't mean them. The only thing is, you have to excuse us because we made an error in the spelling of, I guess this doesn't work here. Yeah, so I apologize for that, and something that it was too late. We had already received this, but we'll make a change to it. Denny, can I move? Yeah. You know, As we discussed last time when we had a meeting a month and a half ago about the program, I looked into it quite carefully. And what happens sometime is that when you have a certain lot and then you have certain requests from a client, things seem to fall into place and they're meant to be. And this is the exact thing that happened with this project. I want to take you here to show you that this is an aerial view of Guadalupe Road and Gilbert. And as you go towards the east, the church lot is right here. You have two churches, one on the north side, which is the Two Rivers Church, and one on the east side here, on the south side, sorry, which is the Gilbert Presbyterian Church. And what you'll notice in both of these cases is that the church buildings are right up on the street, and they have deep enough lots that they have all of their parking towards the rear of their lot, as you see here, and as you see over here. And what this does is it makes the on the street side, what you have are the backs of the buildings. So in a way, it's you have to do that because you don't want people to walk all the way from the parking all the way to the front, which is right here, or from here all the way around. So you have to have the entrance somewhere behind the building, and then you normally end up with the backs of the buildings on the street, which not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that these are backs of buildings and not the actual entrance. This, as you see, is the Two Rivers Church, and you see, you know, very limited facade, very deep lots, and, you know, there's some signage, but there's really not even any windows here. It's a building with, you know, of course, the markings of a church and everything, and you don't see much of the rest of the lot and so on. On the other side of the street, you have the Gilbert Presbyterian Church, which is a little further set back. And again, you see the back of the church here, which is fine, but really not much going on here. When we move further to the east, here's Burke Street, which is the corner street of near the property. We have the property here in number 3, and right now you see there's the existing home. The shed that was there in the past has been demolished. It was not necessary for any of the future buildings, and it was into the building setback area anyway. But you see what we have here is there's a house on the corner, and there's this lot right here that is a potential expansion for the church in the future. So, and at the same time, also being a house, it does not really cut the view from the street. As you see here, you see the home on the corner of Burke Street, and this is the home right now that's the existing lot of the church. And you have this very nice backdrop of trees from the neighbor to the east, which is like almost like a natural natural setting, which you'd love to have and not have to see more houses and so on. So this entire corner is a very, very visible and interesting piece. Here's an aerial view of the site where you have the house on the corner, and this is the house, and you have a 1-acre lot that's perfectly square. And now we would say, well, how would you place a church on a lot like this? And how would you prepare that building to be flexible enough to be added to in the future? And this is what we're looking at. Here's the actual site plan in graphic form, where it's not very easy but we have a 15-foot setbacks on the sides. We have, it was a 30-foot setback at the rear and a 45-foot setback in the front. Right here, it's a very deep right-of-way that we have to respect, and this all will be landscaped, and it's coming from the center of the street. So anybody in the future also wanting to do with anything with the building here, even if it's not bought by your congregation, has to set this building back further, the new structure. Now, what we have here, and I apologize if it's not as visible, is how we approach the site. At this location here is where the existing home is, and right from the rear wall, we decided to put a building here. We respect the 15-foot setback on the side, the 30-foot setback at the rear, and then we have a 15-foot setback here as well, but we have an access way from here already, and there's another one that we're proposing, so you have two access ways that you can come into the site. There's 39 car spaces. We have about 20 or so right here in the front, and about another 19 on the sides. And then there's also for the trash and so on, there's a corner enclosed area for that. And what you have in this particular case is that this building is visible. For the entrance of the building is visible from the street. There's a two-story portion, which is the main church hall, and then you have the office portion, which is a one-story wing at this point. From this one-story wing, there's a potential of continuing this building to the next-door lot if it's ever purchased, and or adding second story on top of this, and again, of course, to this building as well. So the flexibility and the potential of this building in the future, even if it's not a church, it will have use to people as something different, unlike the other buildings, which are basically church buildings, and their sole use is that type of structure. This building can serve different types of purposes. What you have here is the floor plan, and you see the main entry at this point. And again, it's probably clear for you on the paper because it's a little.
It's showing up on the slide really nicely.
It's showing up on, nice. So they can see it online. Great. Yeah, because that's fine. You have an entry hall here, and this entry hall is two stories in height. And you had mentioned last time that we wanted to have a water feature at the entry, and I thought that was a good idea, but how do you integrate a water feature in the entry and how can it be important and so on? And what we have here is at this point, there's a water feature. It's a two-story wall. And I see this as a cross, a two-story cross with water coming down the cross on the wall and so on. And there's a possibility also for that the color of this water to change. You know, if it's Easter, you know, this can become red. And there's so many different possibilities that this water feature can play on this in this space. So you have an axial point here where you see that water feature. You come in, and then immediately to your left is the main church, and it's a two-story entryway where you have doors below, and there's glazing above, and you see the ceiling of the church continuing into there. And to the right, you have the office spaces. So I'm just going to go through it very in one section at a time. Where you come in and you want to go to the church, you go through these doors. These can be probably 9 or 10 foot high doors, very important ones. And then you can see right through these doors directly to the outside because there are other glazed doors on this side that which are also serve as exit doors that can give you this look of a continual continuation of indoor and outdoor space. On the one side, you have the pastor's area where it's a raised stage where you have a couple of steps here. And then behind the pastor, you have two steps again for a potential choir of up to 25 to 30 people. This is, again, a two-story space. The AV room is here where you have a corner glazing, which is one-way mirror, where someone can actually follow what's going on with the in the congregation. And there's a server room as well attached to it. This is a one-story space because it's going to delineate this two-story structure that's going above that. Then on the other side, you have for a crying room, which is 12 by 14. And then you have, again, one-way mirror. So if there are kids and so on, they can come here and you can still follow the congregation. The congregation itself, the seating arrangement here is a capacity of 165 people. Now, if you add a couple of rows right in front, it takes the capacity up to 195. So we're looking at 150 to 200 people. If you remove the last row here, you have 150 people. If you remove two chairs in the center, then you have 120 people. So there's different ways to adjust the capacity as you need it. But if you want to put in 195 or 200 people, you have the room to do that. At the rear here, you have two storage areas which are available so that these chairs and in another plan that I'll show you, the tables that are going to be used can be stored away. So this can be completely empty hall with no chairs at all. At this point here, there's a pocket for a curtain that will separate this one-story space where we have the seating arrangement into two separate spaces of 50 people on either side. And there's another pocket here which receives the partition that will separate separate it this way, and then this partition will separate these rooms that way. So you have a possibility of completely separating these rooms from the congregation, and this being a one story will allow you to have a track. This will be about 12 feet and so on at that portion. Moving on to this side here, you have the break room. And then in the break room, you have the refrigerator, sink, and you can put microwaves or cooking equipment if you like. I did not show that here because I'm a little concerned of, I don't know what you're going to need, but there's a kitchen area. There's a table here as well. And there's the door to the janitor's closet. I didn't want to have any doors on the hallway for that. Then following through, you have the two restrooms. On one side, you have the women's with four toilets. These are handicap accessible, three sinks. There's a baby changing station over here. On the other side, you have the men's, where you have three urinals, two sinks, and two toilets, again, handicap accessible. Plus, this is wide enough that you can go through and go to the back space in the site plan, because on the site, this space here is reserved for sports court. You can have a Ramada. You can have kids play structures and so on that are shaped here from with the building. And you can do things here as well. And the entire surroundings around the site are completely landscaped. So the building kind of sits very well in its site, and you have access to the front door where the other buildings don't. And the reason for that for you is because we don't have the depth on the site that the others do. And if I put the parking here and in the back, then you'd have to walk all the way around and go into the front entrance or put the back of the building over here and then not really enjoy the what this building has to offer to the street. Does it work better? This one? Yeah, it's about the same. Yeah, this is. Anyway, thanks for that. As we're moving further this way, we have the deacon's office right here. We have also moving further, we have the kids room. Kids rooms here. They can be separated by a pocket partition right here, and the teens room, and they can also be open as one space, as we discussed. There is also storage area which can be used for these rooms, but this storage, the way it's located, in the future, if anything expands, then this will be removed, and you can continue into the next door building. And right here we have the pastor's office. It's 16 by 16. There's a bathroom with a sink, toilet, and a shower, and then a storage area. So the pastor's office basically is the corner office right here. In our next plan, what we show is how does this the main church building can convert into meeting rooms. And you have a partition coming from here and this partition this way, and you have 50 seating on either side. These are 10 tables of 5 people, and I'm showing 4-foot diameter tables. You can easily do 42 inches, 3.5 feet, so you can have a bit more room in there. And of course, if you don't want to use round tables and you use rectangular ones, then it could be, again, more compact. But the space is there, and then whenever these are not in use anymore, the partitions go into the walls, and then the tables dismantle. And then they come into the storage area and the chairs as well and so on. So there's a lot of flexibility in this building for different uses. And I think that's one thing that, you know, can be rented out for different events and things like that. And I think it's going to help bringing in revenue as you're moving along with that. So for the time being, this is what I have. I'm going to require your feedback on it, because anything can be changed. So it's not a problem, and it's not set in stone. But I have to tell you one thing, that the next phase that we're going to do after we make these modifications that you'll be requesting is the 3Ds, and you're going to be seeing this as an actual building. It'll be a real-life renderings, and it's all in my head already. So I guarantee you it's going to be a very, very stunning building. And that's what I have for today. So any questions? Right.
Where would, if we were using that as a seminar space, where would the screens be that we would be projecting onto?
They're right here. This wall and this wall. So you're using, they're facing, everybody's facing the rear. That's why these doors are at the edge, so that you have wall space for your screens. Plus, in the main church, you have the two big screens. There's a screen here and a screen there. So these can be 120 plus, you know, bigger than the screen that you have here right now as well. There's a cross in the center, tall cross in a two-story space. There's also these corner windows, which are one story above, so they're like clear story windows. They're not, you don't see out to the street. They bring in natural light from the east and the west side. So these are two screens here, and then two screens at the back. So in essence, if you're in an open space, you can have four screens, two in the front and two in the back in that space. And of course, if you want to put more screens, you have this wall here. That's a fifth screen. I would probably, you know, you can probably put a high something here, but this is where it becomes a two-story and a one-story. I would suggest that this is the only other wall for a fifth screen. I mean, it's a simple building. It's not overly complicated. It's very easy to orient yourself in it. You'll know where everything is. And the area, the square footage, is 5,256, and we have just the right amount of parking for that. So it's like everything happens for a reason. So this building shaped itself. And that's all I have for now. But if you have any comments, you don't have to have them right now. You know, you sleep on it and come up with ideas, and then we can make modifications. So it's just a beginning. Thanks. Awesome. Thank you.
So now all God has to do is find us the money. That's a great use of the space, Nick. Thank you very much. And we look forward to taking it to the next step. So let's close our lesson. When the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. And here's what he says. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Jesus said to doubting Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the word of God, and I am the resurrection life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me." John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has the resurrection life, the Zoe life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life, will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." The closing song for today is "A Few Good Men."
What this dying world could use is a willing man of God. Dares to go against the grain and work without applause.
The man who raised the shield of faith, protecting what is pure, whose love is tough and gentle, a man whose word is sure. God doesn't need an orator who knows just what to say. He doesn't need authorities to reason him away.
He doesn't need an army to guarantee a win. He just needs a few good men.
A few. goodness.
He calls the broken derelict whose life has been renewed. He calls the one who has the strength to stand up for the truth.
Enlistment lines are open and he wants you to come in. He just needs a few good men. Men full of compassion, who laugh and love and cry. Men who face eternity and aren't afraid to die. Men who fight for freedom and honor once again. He just needs a few good.
Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for giving us the desire in our heart to want a facility for Barah Ministries. And we thank you for the few people that you've assembled together to make this project a reality. And we thank you for giving us the ability to dream. And we thank you for giving us people like Nick who can take our dreams and make them tangible and bring them into reality. And we expect that you will give us the desires of our heart and that you already know how this will be funded and how it will be paid for and how the operational funds will come into play. And we trust that you'll bring the hearers when it's appropriate. So we're just grateful to you that we know we can count on you for those things. And we just pray that you help us to continue to dream and to continue to wish for things, so that we can have a world-class facility that we can bring people to and teach them about you, about your word, and about how to cope effectively and how to take a stand in Satan's kingdom. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.